Welcome back to Computer Science E75. I'm Siddharth, I go by Sid, and I will be introducing you to MySQL today. Hope Project 1 went well. That was due today at noon, and Project 2 is out. It's due in a couple of weeks from now. Have you guys taken a look at the project? Do you know what it's about? Have you seen it? Okay. So let's just take a look at what you're expected, what you have to implement, the final product for this project should look like, so that you can, let's see, so number two. So this is CS75 Finance. Your project finally should look pretty much like this. You have a login screen. You can register for an account. I'm just going to register here. Enter a password. Oh, so I guess that's like the real mean. You have to register for an account and get a quote. So find our stock ticker, something like Goog, which of course represents Google. It gives me the value of it right now, what the stock costs right now, which is using Yahoo Finance to look up the current values of the stock. So although you're not playing with real money here, you are looking up actual values of stocks at that moment in time. I should also be able to buy stocks. So let's say I want to buy four. Great. So now I have four shares of Google at $552 a share. So what I plan to do is for these 3 weeks, I want to introduce you to MySQL and the basic syntax, get you a little used to thinking about MySQL, move away from XML, and over the next couple of weeks, I want to walk you through the project itself. So today will be mostly just setting up what will come for the project. I think it's best to start where we left off. So XML. What was the biggest complaint we had about XML? This came up a bunch of times. A lot of people felt we were wasting something with XML, which was space. So I had an XML file, which uses tags, stores values, and uses more tags in between, several of which repeat. So every time I want to call a name, for instance, if I have 10,000 records, I'm going to have 10,000 name, close name tags. What is the best way to do this? Factor it out. If I have a table and my first field is name, and if I can store all the names here, I just saved 10,000. If I have 10,000 records in here, I just saved 10,000 places where I call the name and close the name tag. This is the idea of MySQL. MySQL is basically a database management system which will allow you to, which will help you store values and make things really fast when you're looking them up. What is really useful here? Let's start with the panel. Let's see. So I want panel.cs75.net. So the first thing. So how do you first get around actually set up a database and start working on one? You on your panel you have a MySQL management tab. So let's go on MySQL management and create a new database, right? So I'm going to call this section 5. The username, I'm going to make it section 5 again. My password is going to be section 5. My password is going to be section 5. And I'm going to create one. Okay, so it should be section. Change the password to something else so that. Okay, so the database has been set up. We have the database name, the username, and the password. So I'm going to go back here and actually log into this database. So if you go on your panel again, at the advanced features, you should see a link called phpMyAdmin. phpMyAdmin is a really, really pretty GUI, so a graphics user interface that will allow you to look up and change values in your database. So if I go on phpMyAdmin, it asks for username and password. This is not your CS75 username and password. This is the one you just created. So it's section and Great. So this is how you will essentially set up a database for even your project 2. Questions so far? Great. So it says no tables found in database. I'm not surprised because I've not created anything at all. So I'm just going to click this. And you can create a new table. Let's store something today. Let's store students in this thing. And I want to keep it simple. I'm going to store the name of the student and their user ID. So let me actually close that and bring this in a little bit more so we're not losing the screen. So two fields and hit go. Fields, length, values. So let's start with the field. So the first one's going to be the name of the field. So I'm going to make it name because I want to store the name of the students. The variable type, the type is going to be variable char, so which is basically the character set. Length values, the maximum name is going to be 32, maybe 64. We can leave the collation, and the attributes doesn't matter. Not null, because I never want a user who does not have a name in my table. And my default is going to be John Harvard. So if you don't put a name in, your name will be John Harvard in my table. The extra auto increment, not needed here. We're not going to write any of the other ones. And here I'm going to store their ID. So this is going to be an integer, because I'm going to store just integer values. And the length values is going to be, I'm going to say 32, right? Attributes, I want it to be unsigned. Unsigned basically refers to those values which are positive, so I want to keep all my values positive. It cannot be null again because I don't want to store a value which is, I don't want to store a user with an empty ID field in my table. The default, we'll leave that alone. Extra auto increment, so this is really useful. So if you're going to add users to this table, you don't have to worry about checking the previous value and making sure you assign the next one. If you do not specify a value for this field, it will automatically take the last value and increment it by one. This ensures that the value is always unique, which is the next part. This thing right here is called a primary key. Does anybody know what a primary key is? Unique value. Why do we need a primary key? To uniquely identify. So if I want to look up any, two people can have the same name, right? Two people can have the same name, so it's not going to be very useful if my name is my primary key because it cannot repeat. So if my ID is my primary key, I can say, give me a person whose ID is 5, and I will get back one record and only one record. Presuming, of course, there is actually 5 in it. So this sets a primary key, and here I can say save, and my table is created. This brings us to the next part. So look at what this actually did. Even though it's basically a GUI that is really pretty, and it's a lot of forms and submit buttons, look at the code that it actually executed. So it said create table, the name of the table, here, a student's right here. It set up the name and a bunch of other arguments, and it ran the SQL, SQL query. So phpMyAdmin under the hood is nothing but a bunch of, is a form that allows you to submit different SQL queries. Any questions? Great. So let's actually take a look at examples first. So what I decided was we could do CS75 buses, just like we do CS75 finance. Let's say we're implementing a system for a bus company to allow passengers to look for tickets and buy them. We're not going to make them register. We're not going to make them pay. What we're going to do is have a list of buses. We're going to look to see how many buses there are, whether there are seats. And if there are seats, we're going to allow people to buy it. So let's say I go on book.php. Actually, let's start with search. So let's say I want to go to New York. So I'm going to hit New York right here and hit search. 45 seats available on bus number 52 at 1 p.m. onto New York. And I can go now, book tickets, I can enter my name, and the number of tickets, so I'm going to say 3 tickets to New York, and hit book, And seats left before booking was 45, which we just looked up. So that's good. Booking successful. So now let's look for the tickets to see whether it actually changed. Okay, good, 42. So the number of seats actually went down, which is what we want to do. And let's take a look at history here. So it basically displays all the journeys that I've made, and displays the name of the passenger. Not too hard to implement. Let's just take a look at the code beneath it to see what exactly I'm doing here. Let's start with book.phps. So, the beginning part. Require once common. What does require once do? Yep, require once is nothing but include. It basically takes a file which you specify and includes it in your file. Many of you probably used it for your project one in order to use the config.php part. It sets a destination, right, which appears to be a post variable. So I'm actually posting to this form. And there's something here. We'll come back to that in a second. Otherwise, it's just a form, right? It's just a form that posts to a different form. That's book2.php, and echoes something else on here. So let's take a look at common.php because that is the most important. So let's in our XML. What was the process we went through? So we had an XML file that stored values, right? So what were the steps in order to retrieve data from the XML file? What was the first step? I'm sorry? Yeah, so what was simple XML doing? What was the idea? So there's a file here. You're trying to access these values. First thing, essentially, you were opening that file of sorts. When you used file get contents, you said, take all the data in that file and store it in the string. So step one was open file, right? And now let's say I'm looking for one specific child in the XML tree. What did I use to get to that child? Expat. So some expat function, and then I made changes to these to this expat using the value I got back from my expat. I made changes. I looked up values. I did whatever I wanted to. MySQL follows a similar idea. Now it's a table. It's somewhere else. So first thing I'm going to do is connect to my database. So I'm going to connect to my database servers first. That's going to be my first step. This is roughly the equivalent of opening my file, except that my database can contain several tables. Like just as I created a students table in my CS75, in my username underscore section database, I can have different tables. So the second thing I want to do is to select a table. Right? These are roughly that step. And now instead of expat, the equivalent of expat here is the query. As David introduced in the lecture today, queries are basically very English-looking statements that you can use just like expat to get values from your table. And the third step is obviously the same. I take these values, I do whatever I want with them. So in my common.php here, I have another required one. So I'm going to take a look at that file first. Constants.phps. So just as I created section 5 right now, I also have, if you will, I have another database, just like the one I created right now, which is my buses database, and it has two tables here. So here I set my database name to my whatever it is, username, password, and the server is my local host because I'm accessing this value from my website itself. Questions? Yes, this is exactly your config. Actually, this is a constant file, right? So you're just storing constants in this file. What is the idea of storing constants in a separate file?
So you can call from a different file?
You can call from a different file. That's a good point. But more importantly, there is a bigger reason.
Make a change.
So if I make a change, if I move it from this site to a different site, for instance, All I would have to do, if I want to change my database, all I would have to do is change these values, and every place I use that will be changed. Will make the change automatically. Questions?
When we're on the CS75.get server,
mm-hmm.
what is the DB server for that?
It's localhost.
So we would use
localhost. That is correct. In most cases, so would you use localhost? The question was, would you use localhost for your project? Yes. In most cases, you use just localhost. So this database is created on your domain, right? You just created this database on your domain. So it's a localhost. But if you want to connect, let's say you have a database in a different domain and you want to connect to that database from here, you'd specify the localhost, you would specify the server the same way.
It just happens that the way you think that is configured, we can use
localhost. Yep. That is correct.
Right. Some special
string no. So you're.
Not going to
okay. So you have both your database and your code on the same server. So it's the local host, and you set constants here. There's nothing more to it. There. Let's go back to com.php is here. So I'm going to retrieve these constants from that file, right? Using require one. So I have the values. I can access the values in constant.php now. Now I say MySQL connect database server, database username, database password. It's fairly obvious what I'm doing here. MySQL connect to this MySQL database with this server, at this server, with this username and this password. What I'm doing is I'm setting this to some variable called connection just to see. So let's say I'm connecting to a different server and that database does not exist, for instance. I just deleted the database. There is no way I will. So this is just to make sure the database actually exists. So I'm setting it to some variable called connection, and I'm checking to see if it's false. If it is false, it means that database does not exist, and I cannot connect to it. So I'm just going to apologize. I'm going to say cannot connect to. Apologize is not a function. It's one that you define yourself. Cannot connect to the database server. Specify the name, and then I'm going to select the database itself. So the database here is... okay, so I made a mistake here. This is not table, this is database, because I can have several databases on my database server. And once I select my database, I that's the end of my file. So every place I include common.php, I'm going to establish a connection to my server and select the database I want it to. Questions?
So once you put that in there, will it make the connection?
Yes, it will make the connection. No, it will make, regardless of where you put it in, as long as you just say require once or include or any variation.
So require once will carry through all these.
Yeah, that is correct. Require once will carry through all these. If you define them as separate functions in this file, you need to actually call the function after requiring it. Question? Yeah. So the two equal signs, three equal sign is an interesting. So I believe this checks. I believe this evaluates to true in PHP, but that does not, because this is a character and that is an integer. So this is just like absolute; it has to match completely, which is the yeah. Yeah, the type has to match. I believe we can use both two equals and one equals. I don't think that'll be a problem. So apologize function, I don't know if I've actually defined it. I've never gotten an error because my database has been up. But apologize would essentially be load up in the pages, display an error, right? So this basically takes an argument and displays it. So wherever I call my apologize function, it's going to display some HTML, take me to a separate page that has HTML and display that function, that display the error. This is a fairly useful, efficient trick because every time the user does something bad, he does not enter his username, for instance. You can always call the apologize function, regardless of whether you can connect your database or your user did something wrong, and pass it the respective message so that I can display it. Somebody else had questions? Great. So let's go back to the actual useful code. Let's take a look at book. Let's see. So what I let's take a look. Actually, let me open it up with the terminal because it looks better. I'm going to open nanobook.php. Code is really poorly indented, and I apologize for that. This should not be the case. But let's see. Let's just take a look at the form for now. So I have a form simple form. It submits to book2.php. It takes values. It sets up a text field which has my name. So when I go on this page, that is what I see. book.php. So this is what I see. I have a name, the number of tickets right here, and a select variable. So I need to select buses. So this is the first time I'm actually going to use some MySQL. Let's take a look at my database to see how I can use it. If I take a look at my buses table, I have the ID, which is going to be a unique identifier, so that will be my primary key. So I can just look up all values based on that ID. Second thing I want to do is the bus number, the destination, the time, date, and the number of seats. So if I want to look up here, I want to look up the name, the number, the destination, the time, and the date of the bus, which is what I'm displaying here. So I'm displaying a list in some weird formatted way, however you want it to be, such that it's a destination, comma, on date at time. How am I? Let's take a look at what my thing holds right now. It holds ID number 2. So the bus number 1 goes to New Jersey, 5 a.m., March 15, 50 seats. And then there's another bus that goes to New York, right? So this basically, you can see that this contains the information that I'm looking up here, which is what we want it to be. So how do we access these values? Let's start at the top. So is this clear? Can you see it, or should I go back to the web?
Yeah. I was trying to watch previous sections, mm-hmm. and it was very hard to see on the screen. It
okay.
was very hard to see your code. So
okay.
you were mentioning something about the code, but it was impossible.
Okay. Does this look better on yeah. on the? Okay. Great. Okay. Great. Thanks for that.
If you can make a point more or something.
Yep. Okay, so let's read here. So I've required common.php, which will establish a connection to my database. Now I can take values from it, I can change values in the table, etc. I'm going to set the destination to the post variable. We'll come back to that. So here I'm going to select star from buses where seats not equal to 0. Just like English, I'm going to select star. Star, as we've seen in the directory, Unix directory, Linux directory, star represents all the values. So select star from buses. Buses is the name of my table. So the syntax is select star, or how many ever fields you want, or however you want to tweak it, from buses. Buses is the name of my table, where some condition. So my condition here is seats not equal to 0. Seats is a field in my table itself. So I want to select all those values from here where the seats are not 0. So if I, in fact, this will also show you how to test your values when you're inserting into the thing. Say, let's add a number. Let's say 43 goes to Boston, time 2 p.m., March 11, seats. I'm going to start. My default was 75, but I'm going to go, we can keep it at 75. Hit go. Great. So that is. I go back here, and I have that. I'm going to edit this now. So let's actually take a look, so that you can see the changes being reflected in my book.php. So I just added a bus. So you can see Boston on that date. I'm going to go back here. I'm going to make a change here. I'm going to edit this and set this to 0. Now, presumably because of my condition, it should not be displayed. Let's hit shift refresh. Works. So the condition, you can specify conditions, and it will return those results as just like expat. So this is the expat part. So you're querying for a specific value. Back here. So sorry. Leave here. Yep. So I'm saying select star from buses where seats not equal to 0. So what does this give you? What is the form of this data? It in fact gives you another SQL table. It's another SQL table from which we can extract values using other functions. So this is actually just, I'm just storing it in the string. I'm actually not executing anything at all. I'm just saying some variable equals the string. And once I do that, I'm saying the results of this SQL query are, so the MySQL query basically executes its argument. So I could remove the SQL and say, MySQL query, open parentheses, say select star from buses for where, whatever, And it gives me back the results of that query. Questions? Where, oh yeah, my connections are being made in common.php. So if I didn't do that, it would just show errors being like, hey, I don't have a database to connect to. In a very ugly way as we've seen with PHP.
So once the session, do you store it in the session or the connection, or is it just
connection
established?
No, it's not stored anywhere. It's just a connection established that will stay till the end of this page. So any changes I make till the bottom of this page will work. So if I have a new page and I don't connect to my SQL database, it will not work. So
that's what I'm saying. So every time you use the require once, it's connecting your database.
Right, that's correct. Every time I use it, it's going to connect to it. And I'm going to do that in every one of my pages.
So we'll get printed from
start. Yeah, sure. So there's nothing's going to be printed here. Once again, I'm just storing the value here.
If we were printing the value.
Actually, let's do that. Let's just dump it to see what you get. Var dump SQL underscore results. Oh, this is going to be ugly, but so let's see. So here, right now, here I'm saying this is not. So I'm going to do this even if I don't have any values here. So it's just displaying that because I'm dumping something that does not exist. So the number of tickets is 3. Say New Jersey book. Search from right. So actually, let's go back to the book page here. So this presumably was your value.
Okay.
It's of type MySQL results. So that is a separate type that's defined in PHP, and you will not be able to access. You won't be able to look it up like in XML when you did variable dump, and it gave you like this huge mess that it gives you. However, we can extract values from this MySQL result using its functions, which is what we're doing here. So I'm saying this equals that. I'm sorry, somebody else had a question?
I was just asking what NoSQL query did. Like, I was thinking it turned that table into an array. Does it just like pull in array?
No. So MySQL query does not turn. So at this point, we've not executed a query at all. All we've done is store it in some variable. The next step, what we want to do is actually execute this statement that we have, and that is what MySQL query does. It does it and returns back values. So here we're looking up values. So in other cases, let's say you're updating something. You're not going to, even though you're going to execute MySQL query, it's not going to give you back a result because you're just going to go make changes and come back with whatever query you have, and you're not going to have a set of results. So results will be returned either way, but this is when it's actually useful. So here I'm saying MySQL numRows, which is a special function defined for the MySQL query type. I'm checking to see if the SQL results here equal 0. So if the SQL results here, the number of rows in my table that's returned, right? So I got back a query when I checked to see how many buses have no seats left. If that result has 0 rows, I'm just going to say, oh, no empty buses. Which is what will happen if I set all my values to 0, like I did with Boston. I'm just going to do it with the other buses, and I'll say, oh, no empty buses. And sad face, I guess. And the next part is the actual form. So we have a form here that submits to book 2 by posting. It says the name and selects the bus here, and here is when, so as always with HTML, the select is the drop down menu. This is the overall thing, it's called the select. So the entire thing is wrapped around select, and each of these is an option. HTML code when you probably use it for project 1 or project 0. So here I'm going to say option value equals this, because I want to look this up presumably at some point. So I'm going to look up this value. Option value is this. I'm going to echo bus of destination. So how do I get this? I use this function called MySQL fetch array, which is the function you were looking for. So it takes this result and it gives you the top array, and then it gives you the next array, and the next array, and the next array. This is a huge. I've seen a lot of people have trouble with this because once you call MySQL fetch array on some SQL result, it will remove that array. So the next time you call it, it's going to give you the next array and not the same one. So it basically alters that value. So if you're gonna, if you're there, you don't have to loop through the, you can't loop through the SQL array, the SQL result. And instead, you can just use it in MySQL fetch array, which takes the first row, converts it into an array, gives it to you, and then the next time that you call the function, it's going to do it for the next row. So it's essentially after that part is gone, and you're working with the rest of the thing. So what does the while statement look for? Right, but what is the condition here? Right, exactly. So while this is true, so while this actually exists. So if I have five rows, it's going to do it five times. The sixth time, it's going to set bust to null or false or some value, and it's going to say, "Oh, we've come to the end of the array, end of the result." So I'm going to break here. Now, again, some more HTML. I'm echoing the bust values. So in XPath, when we looked up attributes, this was our. So I, for the sushi example, for instance, it was fish of name. In, thankfully, we don't have to deal with the arrow operators anymore at all. And we're going to go to just using associative arrays. So here I'm each value. So if I'm at this row, this value is given by that variable of that name. So here it's name, and here I'm going to use ID. So which is what I'm doing here. I'm saying bust that row. So I'm storing this row in bus, and then I'm saying echo the destination of the bus, which again aligns with my SQL schema and says destination that. So it echoes the destination, closes it, concatenated with some other text, the date and the time, and closes the option. Questions? Yep. So the question was how are we going to use this for Project 2, essentially, correct? So right now we're just going to go through how you use SQL and PHP and how to work with them together. And for the last 10 minutes, I think we're just going to go over how you can actually model your Project 2 on this. So, yep.
Is the database locked while looping through this?
Sure, no. But you can lock it, right? At this point, we're not. You can. SQL has ways you can lock it, but if you're really looking for something that SQL is just a kind of database, so there are several InnoDB and several other databases that you can use. MySQL is not the best for if you're going to access values concurrently. So, let's say I'm implementing an ATM with MySQL. If two people are withdrawing money with the same card, let's say I go to the first ATM, right? I'm going to put it in. I'm going to go to the next one, put it in, and then I'm going to withdraw all my money simultaneously in both places. That will just mess things up. So if you're doing something really important where you can access a value just once, you lock the table, and we will do locking over the next couple of weeks. At this point, but yes, it is possible to lock it, but now, right now, it's not. Yeah, you could double book your seats potentially. Yeah. But the transaction is fairly fast, so it doesn't happen. It doesn't unless it's completely simultaneously going to happen. Questions? Okay.
Would you expect to lock the tables and use transactions?
I'm not sure. I believe the specs define that. I think you are expected to use. Let me look up Project 2. Let's see, projects. CS75 Finance. It's going to be on the specs. I believe you do have to. You must avoid race conditions by using SQL transactions or locks. So we want to avoid like conditions where two people can double book, just like she brought up. So yes, you must do it. But we'll do that over the next couple of weeks, and we'll go into more detail about how you can do that. But the basic code, is it clear? Do you have any questions about how you access variables in a table?
How does in this code does the value of seats decrease every time when somebody books the seat?
Okay. Right. So right now we're just displaying. So how does this code change the value of seats? It's not. So this is basically displaying whatever is in my table. So if I go to my table and just like I change a value there, it's going to reflect on in this display. So this is basically your XML where you're grabbing your XML file. just like displaying it all by using XPath and saying go to each child, display each value, go to next child, display each value. That's essentially what I'm doing here. So I'm not changing, making any changes to the. Yep.
So on the fetch array.
Mm-hmm.
That places it in the variable bus.
Right.
And that bus is in itself an array of the field names.
Right. It's an associative array that maps. That maps, so it's like an associative array, as I'm sure you've seen. It's a key value pair, so this is your key. This is your value here, then your key is your the name of the field, and your value is this, is the value in the field.
It grabs the entire array.
It grabs the entire array.
And
so
it throws it away on the
yes, it throws it away in the result itself. That's why this works. So here I have three records, right? So here I have two records, actually, because only two are being returned for the query. So the first time, it's going to say, grab this result, display it. The next time I call this, it's giving me the second set of values, and I display the same thing in the form of a pretty drop-down, which is just HTML. Let's go on. Let's, yeah?
So would we not use like a for each loop?
So would you not use a for each loop? No. No, you will not use a for each loop. Here, the equivalent of your for each is your MySQL array because it jumps, it goes to the next array after.
So there's no for each?
No.
Okay.
So I can also book tickets, which, so let's take a look at what this form actually does. So it submits to book2.php. Let's take a look at book2.phps. Once again, require onescommon.php. So here I've connected to my database. I can play around with it. The name is the MySQL RealEscape. So the name is the value that MySQL RealEscape string off some value returns. So in my form, I posted the name of the person, I posted the destination, and the value of the bus. So the unique ID identifier of that bus. Here, if I was storing the number of the bus instead of the ID, it's possible that two buses have the same number, hypothetically possible, and here I'd have two different buses here and I wouldn't know which one to pick. That is the idea of the primary key. So I have a unique identifier, which is my ID, and this is that value. MySQL RealEscape string takes a value and basically cleans it. Regardless of how your user is going to mess with you, you're just going to say, I'm just going to take that string. It's like HTML special characters, which is a function we saw. It takes value and makes sure that the angle bracket, for instance, doesn't exist. Because if the angle bracket did exist in your XML and you brought it into your HTML, it would mess with how the HTML looked. So it cleans it up and gives you the value. And here, sprintf. Has anybody used sprintf before here? Okay. Sprintf is common in C. I don't know if Java has one. But sprintf is really common in C. It is of the form you enter a string, and you give it a bunch of arguments, and it takes each of these arguments and plugs it into that string, into the string. So I will here for instance, this is my string, and I have used the percent sign is the placeholder. So I'm saying this is where I want my first argument to go. So if I have 5% signs, I want the first one to be the first argument, the second one to be the second argument, the third one, so on. So I'm going to insert into history, which is the command for inserting values into MySQL. The syntax is not very difficult. It's mostly like English, and even if you're not sure, you can always look it up. So insert into history values, right? And I'm going to give it all the values I want to give it, and I'm going to give it percent %s, which is the placeholder for a string. So percent %s is different from percent %d in that my first placeholder wants to store a string, where the second one wants to store an integer, or just an integer, actually.
Why do you create like a placeholder for?
Yes, this is exactly that. It's a way to like create spaces where you're saying, so if I have a string, I'm going to say percent %s, percent %d, percent %d. My percent %s is basically a placeholder for a string, my percent %d is a placeholder for an int, and percent %f, for instance, is a placeholder for a float. And how does this work? It takes the first value from there and plugs it into the first placeholder, the second into the second, and third into the third. You have to be careful with the percent %s, percent %d, because you want certain things to be just strings and the other ones to be just numbered. And if you mix them up, it will not store it. It will say, I expect a string, and I receive an integer. I'm not sure if that worked, but I'm reasonably sure that If I receive expect an integer and I receive a string, it will not store it in, and it will throw an error.
Is this similar to you use the function construct?
Not really. So construct, the function underscore construct generates a new object, right? That use similar idea though. You're giving it arguments and saying construct an object that has these values. Here you're constructing a string, giving it values and saying give me a string that has these arguments that I pass it in some specified order, in some specified place. So in this case, if my name is Sid, the tickets are 50 and the bus ID is 1, what is it going to give me? Insert into history values, open parentheses, string, it's expecting a string here, and it's in quotes. Note that, because SQL queries have to be, all the strings in SQL queries need quotes. The name, so it's going to say, insert into history values Sid, open parentheses, quote, unquote, Sid, percent %D, so the number of tickets, let's say 4, percent %D, the number of the ID 1. So it's going to give me a neat string with no percent sign, none of these, take these values and basically plug them into that. The other way you could do it, you could basically concatenate these things. So you can say, insert into history values, open parentheses, dot, the first value, dot, the second value, so on and so forth. It's an easy way of concatenating strings. Question?
Is percentage yes and percentage B, does we need to know the data
type? Yes. So yeah, that's what I said. So you have to know the data type for the percent placeholder. Percent S is string, percent D is integer, which is mostly the ones you will use. Percent F is float. So the yes, PHP.NET defines along with sprintf the function manual itself. So it gives you the format and the arguments, and it specifies the list of types. So you want to specify the type here, and you can look it up if you have questions. You can also define how much precision you want with float. So you can say I want the first two decimals, and you can also make changes of that sort. Which is useful when you're dealing with money and you want $5.75, you can always say percent %float, I want to limit it to decimals and give me back just that. Let's go back here. So I'm going to insert into this, and here I'm not storing my results. Why? Because when I insert into something, I'm not going to expect a result. So it's not a query to give me back something. I'm not looking for a value. I'm just going in, yep. It was successful. Yes, it gives you back results saying true or false, but I don't. It's a useful check, but in most cases it works fine. So it's you can do it. So you execute the query. Once again, MySQL query is when you actually say run this truly SQL database and do this for me. So it's going to insert that into the values. The next command is the update command. So the update is the other most useful command. Once again, useful for you in project 2. When you will be changing values, so if a person starts off with $10,000, he buys stocks, you want to update the table, so as to change that value, reduce the amount he's bought shares for. So I'm setting update buses, set seats equals seats minus percent %D. So a little interesting. So I'm saying I'm going to update the table buses. I'm going to set seats to seats minus percent %D. So what does this do? This is equivalent to the equal minus operator in C. For those who are familiar,
minus,
yeah,
of seats that he
entered. Exactly. So the number of seats that existed minus the number of seats he entered. The number of seats that existed can be just seats because that is the value that's in the table right there. And percent %D is the tickets that I bought. So I'm going to look that up, and I'm going to go ahead and buy. I'm going to buy for that bus ID. So if I do this, if I run it for star, it's going to set that to all the buses. I don't want to do that. I'm going to pick one bus, the bus that he chose to travel in, and make the change for that bus alone. So I'm saying make this change where ID equals percent %D, which is, again, something I passed from the previous form, and I've stored it in bus ID. So it's going to give me update buses set seats equals seats minus 5, where ID equals 1. So it's going to take the value of the first bus and say, oh, I'm going to make this change. But I'm doing something really, really stupid here. Really, really.
Anywhere.
Exactly. So there's nowhere I'm checking to see, given that even though I have specified in the first dropdown only those buses where seats are not zero, that is not a good check. As we've seen before, the post values can be tampered with, can be changed. So when you get it in the new form, you want to check to make sure A, that the bus actually exists and that it has seats, And B, it has enough seats for it to let you let the user buy how many of our seats he wants to buy. So if you did not do this check, a user could buy potentially 30,000 shares of Google with his $10,000, which would be really, really bad. So you want to update this value and then execute the query again. You have to execute the query at every point to actually make things change. And display booking successful. Do you want to go here? Do you want to go there? Questions? Great. Let's take a look at search. So name of passenger. So I'm going to go with Sid here because I just bought something with Sid. It says, oh, Sid is traveling on this bus on March 15th to New Jersey, right? Somebody want to tell me how I would go about this when by the time I look up, pull up the code? So I entered a name and I want to look up. So what will my SQL query look like? Select. Right, star. Let me actually pull up my table so that you can see how it is. So I want it in my history, which is where I'm storing all my values. So take a look at this, for instance. So select star from
history
where name equals quote unquote Sid. Select star from history where name equals quote unquote Sid will give me all those which have that. So actually, let me look it up for Siddharth because there are two values in here. Go back here and say search for passenger. There we go. It gives me two values, two separate values. So let's actually make a change to this code. So it's passenger2.php. What I want to display along with this is how many tickets I'm using, how many tickets I bought, which is actually something I'm storing in my thing as seats. So how would I display, let's say I want to say passenger, let's say I want to display echo something, I want to display passengers traveling with the name of the passenger, right? And then I'm going to concatenate that with that. So here basically I want to In this place, I want to echo the number of seats. How would I go about doing that? What is the code? Yep, it's passenger dollar variable passenger. I'm sorry if you can't read this. I'll make sure I change the colors the next time. Actually, let me dim the lights a little bit to see if that helps. Is that better?
No.
Okay. Oh. Okay, great. It actually, yeah. I should have done this a long time ago. But what do I want here? Yep. And what is this going to display? This is going to give me the value that row has seats for. So I'm going to go back here. I'm going to hit Shift Refresh. I'm going to hit Resend. Works. So it's basically this. You have a, this is a model. This is the model that I want. This is the model that is most common. I apologize if people, actually I'll write out here so everybody can see it. So you have a HTML form, right? That might use some PHP, might not use some PHP, depending on what values you want to store here. You're going to post or get to a different PHP file that's going to do some SQL, that's going to look up some values in some SQL database and do something else based on those values. That is a model. Submit from here to here, look at the values, make some changes. Submit from here to here, that is what we're doing here. Submit from passenger.php to passenger2.php and looking up values based on the information I get from the first form. Great, so one last file that we have to see is view history. So view history, it displays all those values. So I guess I'm not checking for another thing you should look out for, empty fields. So the user is going to give you a lot of empty fields. He's going to say, I'm not going to give you a name, not going to give you an ID. Like I have here, so something you want to avoid, you want to say, give me all, you want to make checks to see that every given value is being received. Let's take a look at the source code. It's PHPS, SRC. Once again, connect to the database with requireOnsCommon.php, and here, simple. I'm going to select all my values from history, and I'm going to store these in some SQL result, and for every row, as I loop through every row called passenger, interesting here. So I'm In my this is called normalization. This is something that you will want to do. Because here, there is no point storing. One way I could have gone about doing this is saying name, seats, bus ID, and then storing all the details of the bus so that I can look up, I can say the destination he's going to is here, so on and so forth, which kind of defeats the point of having a SQL table. If you're going to replicate data in so many places, there's no point doing that. So once again, the primary key comes into use. So we use the bus ID. So we're storing this. So I know that given any bus ID, there is a unique value in my database that stores the buses, where I can extract details about that bus from. So I'm saying, first get the passengers' values, right? So I'm going to display, and then I'm going to say select star from buses. So it's a different table now, where ID equals percent D. Percent D I'm storing as bus ID. So I'm going to select first the passenger. For each passenger, I'm going to say look up that bus who has the ID that the passenger is traveling in. Once I receive that bus ID, I can specify the passenger's name, where he's traveling to, where he's traveling from, two separate variables. So I just used a value from this table, looked it up in another table, and then using these values together, I can display a string that says so-and-so is going from here to here with three passengers, four passengers, on so-and-so date and time. Questions? Great. So what does this do? It displays all the... how much we have a little time left, so I'm just going to go over project two and see how get you started on thinking about how you want to do this. So you're essentially storing shares, right? You're storing stocks. You're storing the portfolio of a user. For buses, it was fairly simple because we're just using buses and the username. Now we want to do more complicated things. We want to store more information in it. So potentially, how do you see your database panning out? What fields do you think you will need in your database? Let's say a portfolio database, for instance. So let's talk about the login feature first. So the first thing you're going to do is let the user register and log in, for which you need a users table of some sort that stores these values, that stores the name, the email address, whatever you want to store, along with a unique username. You don't want the username to repeat. That will be your primary key. And a password of that person. What are the fields here? Name. Completely up to you. The design is completely up to you, but I'm just going to bounce some ideas off you so that you can get started on how you want to design your database. So the name, let's say the email address, so let's say you want to store you obviously want to store the username and the password, the username, which is the primary key. Once you have this, you want to store a portfolio. So how could you do this? So you can't obviously set up a table for every single user, right? So you can't say, I'm going to call this table database underscore username, and then store all the values of that whatever transactions that user makes in that table. That is wasteful because we're not using MySQL in its full capacity. How would I go about doing this? Portfolio ideas?
You could have one table
reference.
Go on. I was
going to
say you could have one table and just call holdings, and each record would be the username, stock symbol, how many shares they own.
Right. So. Exactly. So I'm going to store it in some table where I map it to the username. So each user maps. So I have a list of users and passwords, and the username is unique. So I'm going to use that to connect it to a stock holdings. In fact, I could store it here because my username is a constant, right? I'm going to always the amount of money I have and the amount of stocks I've bought, owned, whatever is all going to be stored here. But there are problems with that, because I can't store the information of every stock that he's bought, for instance, in that table. It's possible, but it's a little contrived, because I'm going to have to create some string that concatenates every time I buy a stock. I'm going to add it to that field. A little hard. The other way to do it is to think about this from just history. So you have to display the history of all his transactions. What would be the fields you store in a history table? History of transactions for every user.
Name.
Right? What is the first thing this has to be associated with? So,
username.
Exactly. So the entire field has to be associated with some username. So for that username, you're going to display. So let's say I buy three stocks of Google. So what do you need to know? How much I bought it at? This is something important because if it's a constant value, you don't have to worry about that moment's price. But here the price is changing, so you need to know what value I bought it at, what value I'm selling it at. So if I bought three shares of Google, what all do I want to store? The username, right? And then the stock code.
And the quantity price.
Right? How many of them I bought? What is the price I bought it at?
What is the price
and the total price if you want. And obviously you have to make sure you have some sort of mechanism to denote to you whether the user bought it or sold it. Because you can't have, if you have username, Google, $300, it's not going to tell you whether the user bought those three stocks or sold those three stocks. So you need some setup where it will be a flag of sorts to tell you that, oh, this is a transaction where somebody bought a stock and here is something that people sold. So do you get an idea of how this design would map out into your actual project too? So this week I suggest you just take a look at this, read through the project specs completely, and try to set up your database schema. So just try to establish what you will need, think of the tables you will need, and actually write it out. It's a really, really useful exercise. Because once you start coding, and you realize that you're going to look up from five different tables when you could do it two, it's a really, really hard task to restructure it. So sit down and first figure out how you want to map these tables, what tables you need, what you're going to store in them, and how you're going to reference them. So the secondary key. So I'm going to map my username with the username in my transactions table. So I'm going to map this to the user's table using the username, which is a unique identifier. Think about questions like that. How would you relate this? How would you look up unique values? And next week we'll go over the initial part of the spec where you're going to look up a value from Yahoo to at that moment. So how would you go about looking that up? If you have any questions, I'm going to be sticking around. But thanks for coming out, and I hope to see you next week.